Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times filling in for the living legend, Michael Savage. Michael is off today on a much-deserved break, but he will definitely be back. Batteries fully charged, and I want to thank all of you for tuning in today. We have a jam-packed show for you. It's going to be absolutely outstanding radio. Michael, if you're out there listening, I just want to thank you once again, my friend, for this wonderful honor and privilege to be sitting in for you and filling into your giant, giant shoes. I have to tell you, we're going to be talking about your band to England and some more developments, dramatic developments, and my admiration for you just continues to soar. You are truly a patriot. You are a brave, courageous man, and I believe your legend just continues to grow almost every week and every month, and may God bless you, my friend. To all of you in the Savage Nation, if you don't know me, my name is Jeff Cooner. I'm a columnist at the Washington Times. You've probably seen me on Fox News, MSNBC. As I said, I fill in for Michael occasionally, and it's a wonderful honor and a privilege. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. The unemployment rate continues to soar. Healthcare, Obama's healthcare plan is now in very serious trouble, but I want to get to the key issue. Michael Savage has now won potentially another major victory in his battle against the British government. We have just found out through Michael Savage's producers, and you can go to michaelsavage.com to get a lot of the details, is that now the famous Cambridge Union, the oldest debating society in England, a debating society that has hosted the likes of Ronald Reagan, Theodore Roosevelt, and Winston Churchill, has now asked for Michael Savage to debate an opponent on the issue of whether political correctness is sane and necessary. And as they point out in their invitation to Michael, they now want Michael to give his side of the story regarding his ban in England. And for those of you that haven't been living on planet Earth for the last several months, Michael has been officially banned from entering the United Kingdom, from entering Great Britain, due to a blacklist issued by the former Home Secretary, Jackie Smith. And on that list, if you can believe it, are leaders of Hamas, leaders of Islamic terrorists, leaders of Russian gangs, Russian fascist gangs, skinheads. You have people who have called for the murder of Jews and Americans, people with blood on their hands. And as we have found out over the last several weeks, particularly from the British press, is that Michael Savage was deliberately picked out of a hat to put a conservative white male to, quote, have balance, unquote, against all the other Islamist extremists that are on that list. In other words, they have deliberately targeted this man, smeared and slandered his reputation. And more than that, by putting his name beside these murderous thugs, these people that strap themselves with dynamite and blow themselves up to kill Jewish women and children in school buses in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, as his name has been put alongside theirs, there is now a giant target on Michael's back. By doing this, it is an open invitation for some crazed left-winger to attack Michael Savage or his family and, God forbid, maybe even kill him. This is what they are trying to do to this man. And at its core, this issue is not about Michael Savage. And I have to really stress this point because the last time I was on, I defended Michael against this ban, and I urged all of you out there to continue to support Michael's struggle. And the question I asked was, why were prominent conservative talk show hosts not defending Michael Savage? Why were they not standing up for freedom of speech? Because this is blatant censorship. This is an assault on a conservative man and on his conservative ideas. It is an attempt to blackball him and blacklist him, to marginalize him and delegitimize conservative opinion. This is censorship. This is an assault on freedom of expression and freedom of speech. And yet all of the big gun conservative talk show hosts, people, frankly, with even lesser ratings than Michael Savage, but who should be defending freedom of speech, have stood silent, especially Fox News. Why? And I got a lot of emails after the show saying, well, Michael insults people like Rush Limbaugh, or he insults Sean Hannity, or he insults all of these other conservative talk show hosts. So why would they rush to his defense? Here's why. Because freedom is not a partisan issue. Because I don't care if he's insulted your mother or your grandmother. Freedom of speech is a sacred, inviolable right. It is a fundamental human right. And what the British government is doing is a profound assault on democracy. And so everybody, especially in the media, where freedom of speech and freedom of expression are paramount, this is the currency that we cater in. This is our lifeblood. We should be standing up for Michael Savage. And let me just say this. This is about Michael, and I don't want to make this about me. But my parents come from Eastern Europe. And let me be very frank with you. They suffered under concentration camps, and especially my grandparents. Most of my family were wiped out by the communists. And I had to go to university. And when I was at university, I had university professors teach me and other students in my class that communism was a good thing. That Stalin, in fact, wasn't a mass murderer. That, in fact, the murder of my ancestors, the fact that my father was in a concentration camp, the fact that my grandfather spent 3 years in a camp, that was a good thing because that was an experiment in social engineering. That was an experiment for socialism, for social justice. And so as they put it, you have to crack a few eggs to make an omelet. I never once in my mind thought that this professor should be censored or that his thoughts should not be allowed, or that somehow we shouldn't have academic freedom. What I argued was they should get the other point of view. They should hear about the gulags and the mass murders and the atrocities and the poverty. But I never once said, no, this man should be banned from entering the campus. This man should not be allowed to speak his thoughts. Because I am a conservative. I believe in fundamental rights and I believe in freedom. What the British government is doing is an assault on freedom. And every decent person, right, center, or left, whether you've been attacked by Savage or not been attacked by Savage, should rally around him because his fight is our fight. And so now, Michael, I think, has to make one of the biggest decisions of his life. Will he now address the Cambridge Union? Will he now address this ban head on? Because he could very easily say no. You have smeared me. You have slandered me. You have tried to destroy my reputation. I want nothing to do with you. For God's sakes, why should I come and debate the Cambridge Union Society? Why should I give even any credence or credibility to any British institution? I believe that Michael will attend. And here's why. Because this is now a golden opportunity for him. Now, can he attend in person? I don't think so. I don't think the ban is going to be lifted. That means Michael will have to then talk via video link. But he will be there. They will see his picture. They will see his face. And most importantly, they will hear his words. And they will hear from this man that he has never incited hatred. He has never incited murder. In fact, he is a principled nationalist conservative. He stands for God, country, and family. He stands against the onslaught of illegal immigration. He stands against radical Islam. He stands for free market capitalism. He stands for a pro-life culture. that celebrates marriage and family and the innocent and the unborn. He is a conservative warrior, and he is somebody who I believe will smash his leftist opponent, and he will reveal the British government to be the fraud and the sham that they are, the cowards that they are. And my friends, there is precedent here. In 1934, not the Cambridge Union, but the Oxford Union, invited Sir Winston Churchill to address their students. Because the question before then was very similar to the question before us. Make no mistake about it. Churchill was asked, should we fight for king and country? And the Oxford Union then declared in 1934, when Nazism was surging, when Hitler was now spreading his wings and now implementing his fascist revolution, and Mussolini was tightening his grip on power in Italy, as the fascist support surged and surged and surged across Europe, there was one man who rose up, one man who had the courage. And people in England, like today, were desperate for appeasement. And so the Oxford Union said, we will not fight for king and country. This is our motion. And Churchill was so disgusted, was so ashamed of his fellow countrymen, that he went to the Oxford Union and he spoke to those 500 students. And he said, shame on you. Generations will look back and they will say that this was not England's finest hour, but its worst hour. We must stand for freedom and democracy, and we must stare evil in the face and call it for what it is. And on that night, Winston Churchill lost that debate. Most of the students sided with the liberal pacifists, with the cowards, with the appeasers. But his words stood the test of time. And eventually, history moved in Churchill's direction, and he was vindicated as a hero and as a man of immense courage. I believe that this is now the moment for Michael Savage. I believe that now this is his moment to now speak truth to power and to now say we are confronting the greatest evil of our time, and it is radical Islam. It is jihadism and Islamic fundamentalism. They are winning in Afghanistan. They are winning in Iraq. They are on the verge of a bomb in Iran. They are now taking over city by city, town by town, everywhere across Europe. And yet you in England, as in the 1930s, are hiding with your heads buried in the sand. But there is one man, Michael Savage, who will stand up and speak the truth. So my question to all of you, my friends, is, do you think Michael Savage should speak to the Cambridge Union? Do you think he should go by video link and defend himself? Or do you think this is a setup? Do you think that he is going to be smeared and heckled and demonized and attacked and ridiculed? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Kooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Is that in America, the First Amendment was written to protect offensive speech. We don't need a First Amendment to protect polite speech, do we? I mean, everyone engages in polite speech. What do we need protections for? It's speech which provokes thought that is considered offensive and hateful by those who disagree with you, isn't it? And so therefore, it's only speech we're talking about, not the acts of murderers. And to lump me in with murderers is defaming me. It's libeling me.
If we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age, made more sinister and perhaps more protracted.
That was first Michael Savage and then, of course, the great Winston Churchill. This is Jeff Kooner sitting in for Michael Savage. To all of you out there on the Savage Nation, the question before the House is, should Michael Savage debate the Cambridge Union via video link? Should he confront those in England who continue to support the ban against Michael, who continue to want to censor his thoughts? freedom of speech is on the line here. I believe that this is going to be one of the watershed cultural moments in Western civilization. Here you have a major radio talk show host, one of the most powerful, influential people in the media, deliberately blacklisted and blackballed by the government in England. And all around us, the media remains silent, and in their silence, they are remaining complicit in this assault on democracy and on freedom of speech. And so my question to Michael is, and I think the answer hopefully will come next week, is he going to stand up to these liberal cowards, many of them who are going to be there at Cambridge, supporting his opponent, looking to ridicule, mock, demean, and shame him. And I believe that the Cambridge Union, thinking that they have set up a trap for Michael, have in fact painted themselves into a corner, because they're not banking on one thing, and that is Michael's profound verbal prowess, his incredible debating skills. He is going to smash his opponent. And just as Churchill smashed his opponent at the Oxford Union in 1934, so will Michael on October 15th. And for those of you that are interested in looking at this story more, please go to michaelsavage.com. You actually can see and read the invitation from the Cambridge Union. This is a major development. And of course, we are now waiting Michael's answer. We're going to get to the phone lines, 1-800-449-8255. Yet I just have to say, to me, what I find very surprising has been the silence, especially of Fox News. This is supposedly our major conservative cable TV network, and yet they remain silent. In fact, apparently some of their own hosts are facing assaults on freedom of speech and even potential boycotts, and yet they remain quiet. And my question is why? And I think I know the answer. Because somebody like Michael Savage reveals a lot of the people at Fox News for what they are. They are phony conservatives, and he's not. He is the real deal and the real thing, and that's why they're desperately trying to avoid this story, but they can't. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Should Michael go to the Cambridge Union and via video link and debate those that want to keep him banned from Britain? Is this a case of censorship? Is Michael fighting for freedom of speech? I want to hear from you. I have to say, really, lately things in England have not been very good. I've been to England on numerous occasions. You walk through the streets, especially of East London, you will see radical madrasas. You will see radical imams and clerics right there on the streets of England saying death to America, death to Israel, death to Britain. They refer to Jews and Christians as monkeys and pigs. Many of them openly call for the killing of Americans and British soldiers in the Middle East. There is a jihad being waged by many of these groups, not only in England, but across Europe. And rather than standing up to the forces of evil and to the forces of hatred, we are now seeing a consistent policy of appeasement, both from England and from the Obama administration. And one of the latest things, which to me was a huge scandal, and an eternal blot on England's character and integrity, was the shameful release of the Lockerbie bomber Abdelbaset Ali al-Megrahi. Here was a man responsible and convicted for the bombing of Lockerbie, where not only Europeans and British citizens were murdered, but many Americans were killed over Scotland in the late 1980s. And what did the British courts do? They released him on compassionate grounds because he's now apparently dying. He's terminally ill. Oh, my heart bleeds. And now all of a sudden, because this thug, this animal, this mass murderer is suddenly terminally ill, they have to release him, and he is sent off to Libya to meet that other butcher, Muammar Gaddafi, the man who engineered this attack, who has American blood on his hands. And this guy, this terrorist, Ali al-Megrahi, who's been released by the British government, is literally given a hero's welcome in Tripoli when he lands in Libya. They salute him as a lion of Libya, as a man who has struck a blow for jihad and for radical Islam against the great Satan, the United States. Here is British conservative leader David Cameron. The British opposition is disgusted by this, and they have held Gordon Brown's government accountable. Here is the clip. Roll it, boys.
All we know is that there was a properly held court case, very exhaustively carried out, and that he was convicted on that basis and sentenced on that basis. As I said at the time, if people feel in some way the conviction is unsafe, the right route then is to produce fresh evidence and have a fresh appeal. I think the release on compassionate grounds was completely wrong.
You know what, David Cameron, I'm not a big fan of his type of conservatism, to be honest with you. He's a what they call a red Tory, or a compassionate conservative like George Bush. I don't think he's a hero for many conservatives. But on this issue, he's right. There was no grounds for release, and certainly not on compassionate grounds. This man deserves no compassion. He is a mass murderer, an unrepentant mass murderer. And he has American blood on his hands. And the British government, to its eternal shame, released this man. And to me, my question is, what about the victims? Everybody is always concerned about the feelings of these radical terrorists. We're always worried about Guantanamo. They have 3 square meals a day. They get to read the Quran every day. They can watch sports on high-definition television. They can play volleyball and basketball. They literally... Their biggest problem is getting sunscreen. They're getting too much sun. And the liberals are worried. Well, no, I mean, there's a couple of these diehard terrorists. We squirted water up their nose. We're torturing them, trying to get information. What are we going to start being concerned about the victims? What about those families who lost their loved ones over the skies in Lockerbie? What about those who have lost their fathers, mothers, wives, husbands, sons, daughters, who will never see them again? Their lives have been permanently damaged, permanently destroyed, permanently affected. All those whose lives were cut short because of this butcher. And yet this man is allowed, this al-Megrahi, this animal, to be paraded in Tripoli as if he's a hero. It is an absolute shameful disgrace. And that's why I am hoping, in fact, I'm praying, and says yes, and goes to the Cambridge Union and takes these liberals head on and rips their political hide off, that he shames them in the court of public opinion and shows the world what cowards they truly are. Let's get to the phone lines. The number is 1-800-449-8255. That's 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Dana in San Francisco. Dana, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, hello. I believe he should go. I think it calls attention to his plight, not only amongst Americans, but particularly amongst the British people. And I think once that happens, the American media can no longer ignore the story, which they've been
doing. Listen, here's where I agree with you and I disagree with you, my friend. I definitely think he should go. I think you're definitely right. Yes, you're logically right. You would think that a man who has been banned and censored and blacklisted, a man who has never, he's never murdered anybody, he's never killed anybody, he's never called for the murder or killing of anybody, that this man who's been linked to jihadist terrorists, to Russian skinheads, to literally gangsters and mobsters, to the worst vermin in society, you would think that this would be a major press story in the United States. And yet they continue to sweep it under the rug. There is clearly now, and I'm not a conspiratorial guy by nature. I really am not. There is clearly now a conspiracy within the media to try to bury this story. And so my concern is this. I don't know. I can't say this. If he goes to England and or whatever, or does it by video link, because I don't think they're going to change his status before then. So he does it by video link and he puts in a sensational performance and he annihilates his opponents. And he is then vilified, as he will be, by all of those leftist, radical Marxist students. When they shout him down, but he stands there as Churchill did in 1934, and bravely facing evil in the face and bravely speaking truth to power. I'm not sure the American media is going to rally to him. I'm not sure they're even going to cover it because they don't want to face this one fact. And Dana, take my word for this. I work in the media. I've been at the Washington Times for nearly 10 years. Frankly, I am known here as the last honest man in Washington. I call it the way it is. And I have put my career on the line again and again. I know what the press corps is made of. I have to sometimes, it's part of my job. I hate to do it, but I have to do it. I go to their soirees. I go to their cocktail parties. I go to their silly gala dinners. I have to drink with them and eat with them and talk with them. I know what they're made of. And let me tell you, you know the class snitch? You know the snitch in your class when you were in, what, fourth grade, fifth grade? Those are most journalists. You know the class nerd, the geek, the one that, frankly, the, you know, who sort of mommy, teacher's favorite pet, mommy's favorite pet? Those are journalists. Most of the journalists in this city are cowards. They are conventional establishment liberals. They have no backbone. They have no even original ideas. They go to Harvard or Yale or Columbia. They're indoctrinated by their professors. They're conventional chic liberals. They hate a guy like Michael Savage. He literally stands for everything they suppose. He stands for everything they oppose. They revile him. They think his patriotism is gauche. They literally think that how can you believe capitalism and America are the greatest things in the history of man? How can you believe that? Don't you know we're a racist, sexist, homophobic, oppressive nation? Don't you know that? So when he stands up and says, no, America has been the greatest force for good in the world. And more than that, there is genuine evil in the world. There are people who are sadistic. They want to kill, pillage, and conquer. And that is radical Islam. They are like the Nazis and the communists. They are totalitarians. And their ideology and influence is spreading like a cancer. And unless, like Churchill, we stand up and speak truth to power, we will be crushed. We will be decimated. In fact, we are already losing in the Middle East. How many more wars do we have to lose? How many more American boys have to die before we wake up and realize they're not going away? And when he says that, that scares them. That scares them to their very foundations because they don't want to confront evil, because that goes against their liberal leftist ideology. They live in a smug, comfortable world and they want nothing, nothing to disrupt it. And that's how they were in the 1930s. That's how they were in the 1970s and 80s during the Cold War. And that's how they are today. That's why I believe the press corps is a cowardly press corps. I hold them in contempt. Almost every one of them, I hold them in contempt. And that's why I don't believe they're going to cover this story. That's my prediction. I could be wrong. Let's go to Patricia in New York. Patricia, welcome to the Savage Nation.
You know, when Michael first broke this story, and I've been listening to it since day one, my actual first, call it female intuition, response was that the genesis of this came from somewhere in all the president's men, and then it got transmitted over to London. I see this, if I were Michael, I'm trying to put myself in his shoes, my answer is unequivocally no. Because
why?
I see this as a sword wrapped in an olive branch, and that it's a walk into a trap. It doesn't matter how right he is, how erudite he is, it will be dissembled. Now, maybe it's because I'm Italian. It reminds me of the scene in The Godfather where, you know, Marlon Brando keeps saying to his son for the 10th time, remember that the person who brings you the deal is the traitor. I feel that's what this is, because this is the country that debased this man for no good reason whatsoever. They're just trying to save face. So he's got to go and argue his point on their property with their debate team.
Patricia, you have just made literally the counter argument, and I think you've done it very well, to be very frank. It is a trap. I don't disagree with you there. It's clearly a trap. They believe, I know what they think. because I've been to Cambridge. My wife, ironically, actually wanted to do her PhD there. So I was forced, A, to have to go to England, and B, have to go to Cambridge. Believe me, it's extremely overrated. I have to tell you, they're pretentious, they're snobby, they're elitist, but believe me, there isn't much between the ears. They're not impressive. They really aren't. But it's a trap. And I know how they think. They think they're going to get a wild man. They think they're going to get a raving racist lunatic. That's what they think. So they think he's going to go by video link and they're going to embarrass and humiliate him. And the students are going to heckle him and shout him down and mock him. They're going to crucify him. They genuinely think they're going to crucify him. But I have to tell you, I've seen Michael in debate. He is a ferocious debater. And I think he will turn the tables on him, especially what I recommend to Michael. It's up to him. But I would do it live. I would even have it broadcast over the Savage Nation, if possible, or streamed on his website so everybody can see it. That's number one. Number two, what I would advise Michael is this. I would say on this one, you are like Churchill in 1934. Remember this, Patricia, and all of you in the Savage Nation. When Winston Churchill went, it wasn't Cambridge, it was the Oxford Union. But again, very prestigious debating society. He knew he was going into the lion's den. He knew it. He knew that on that night, when they vote for the motion, should we fight for king and country? The answer would be no. They were pacifists. They were appeasers. They were cowards. They were anti-war liberals. All of them, to a man and woman. He was going to lose that debate that night with that crowd. But he took the blows, and he took the blows for the sake of the truth. He took the blows for the sake of posterity. And I believe that this is why Michael will go and why he should go. Because even though it's a trap, I believe that Michael's words will ring for decades and decades to come, for generations to come. Because this is not just about freedom of speech. This is not just about democracy. This is about something even deeper than that. It is about the profound struggle of our time, the struggle between the free West and radical Islam. Make no mistake about it. We are in a clash of civilizations, and only one can win. Because the other side, the jihadists, the radical Muslims, they want nothing less than a global empire. For them, this is a fight to the finish. And so what Michael Savage will be doing is he will be warning us. He'll be ringing the alarm bell, saying, as Churchill did, wake up, wake up, wake up before it's too late. I'm Jeff Kuhner, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, and I'll be right back on the Savage Nation. Savage.
Shocked, angered. How in the world could I be linked with known murderers, people who have been put in prison for years for killing people, people who espouse the overthrow of your government, openly, when I am simply speaking, talking for 15 years on the radio, writing best-selling books? It was shocking to believe this is coming out of England, a country I've always loved and admired, specifically for its freedoms.
That was Michael Savage talking about him being banned and blacklisted in Britain. And now he faces a very, very important decision. Should he go to the prestigious Cambridge Union, probably via video link, and have a debate about political correctness in America and Britain? Really a debate about whether he should be banned. And he will definitely be entering the lion's den. And this, I think, will be a tremendous test for Savage. I want to make this very clear to all of you, and especially to Michael, if you're listening. This is obviously a very personal decision on his part. I am just giving my honest opinion as a journalist and as a columnist at The Washington Times. I would like to see him go. I think he should go, but that's clearly up to him. And if he doesn't want to go, I can certainly understand. When you've been smeared, vilified, libeled, and attacked the way he has, why would you even want to give any institution in England or that country any credibility or even a minute of your time? So clearly this is going to be a very tough decision for Michael, a very personal one. But I believe potentially, if he does do it, will be a cultural watershed moment, not just in American history, but in the history of Western civilization. Let's take one more call. Derek in Kansas City, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, I believe that Michael should go for two main reasons. First of all, Michael has an excellent opportunity to do, as Winston Churchill did in the 30s, to speak out against what is coming. Winston Churchill knew what fascism would do. He knew what socialism would do, and the eventual leading of that to World War II and to a horrible Holocaust. And Michael has an opportunity to speak that as well. What's so important is that the Cambridge Union, with more places of learning like this, where the future world leaders are. It's not so he can win the debate, but that he may be able to turn the mind of a future world leader and change our history as we know it.
Yeah, Derek, you've nailed it. And that to me is the compelling reason why he should go. It's not that he's going to win that night. Look, it's a cabal of leftists that are inviting him. It's a cabal of leftists that will attend. And just as in 1934, when Churchill was at the Oxford Union, they will vote for the motion. Yes, they will say that political correctness is sane and necessary. That's the formal question that they're asking before the Cambridge Union. So technically, Michael will lose. But I think in the end, he will win. And he will win because he has the truth on his side. But the bigger question is this, Derek, and I think this is a question that we have to face honestly and squarely in the face. The generation of the 1930s, for all of their flaws, was a generation that had lived through the horrors of World War I and the Great Depression. They were a tougher generation. They were a more honorable generation. They were a more courageous and principled generation. For all of their flaws, these were tough men and women who were still, in the end, when push came to shove, when war came to Europe, when we were attacked on Pearl Harbor, almost every man and woman volunteered to fight. Look at us today. We are a very different generation, and that is my big fear. I fear that maybe Savage will sound the alarm bell, but will future generations, and especially our spoiled generation, will they be able to answer the call? That is the question of our time. I'm filling in for Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times filling in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael is off today for a much needed break, but he will definitely be back guns blazing. He's got some wonderful stories on michaelsavage.com. Obviously, his invitation to go to the Cambridge Union to debate his being banned in England and whether political correctness is a good thing. There are also some very, very important political stories up there. And my friends, this is what I want to talk to you about for at least this segment. The number to call is 1-800-449-8255. That's 1-800-449-8255. We're now into the Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend is traditionally the last weekend of the summer. People are getting ready to go back. Students are getting ready to go back to school. People are wrapping up their summer vacations. Yet here in Washington, in the belly of the beast, we are now seeing some very dramatic developments on Capitol Hill and in the White House. Just a few months ago, Barack Obama was riding high. His approval ratings were above 60, 65%. He had full majorities in both the House and the Senate. The media was behind him, fawning at his very feet. And now, at the end of August, his presidency is now imploding. He is now facing defections from independents, even from many liberal Democrats, and the Republicans have been united against him like never before. And the question is why? Why now, all of a sudden, is Barack Hussein Obama's presidency in deep trouble? His poll numbers are plummeting. He has lost tremendous amount of prestige and credibility. People, even within his own party, are now questioning whether he has the temperament, the judgment, and the strength of character to lead. And the answer to me is a simple one. What you are now seeing is the end of the honeymoon, the end of the love affair. We are now seeing the real, true colors of Barack Hussein Obama. He is a socialist and a Marxist at his core, but even more than that, he is profoundly green. He is inexperienced. He is clearly a rookie. He is inept and incompetent. And now his incompetency is starting to show. This is a man who was carried by the mainstream media throughout the entire campaign last year against McCain and even against Hillary Clinton. They were desperate to see him get into the White House. And they covered up everything. They covered up his connections to Bill Ayers. They covered up his connections to Jeremiah Wright. They covered up his connections to Resco. They covered up his connections even to Rod Blagojevich and that corrupt Chicago machine that he comes from. And now we are seeing the true colors of Obama. He has now been unmasked as the fraud and the sham and the phony that he is. Because stand back and think about it for a second. This is a man who now controls both houses of Congress with almost super majorities. He controls the White House, and he has the press corps eating out of the palm of his hands. And yet, everywhere he looks around him, his agenda is now disintegrating and stalling. His health care plan is in big trouble. The more Americans see of it, the less they like it. Unemployment, just today, the recent numbers have come out. We have now hit 9.7%, and it is now rising. People are predicting in another month or two, we will be at 10%. So his vaunted economic stimulus package, that trillion-dollar spending package, and that massive budget with these record deficits that was supposed to pull us out of an economic downturn that was supposed to rescue the American economy has shown to be a complete failure and a fraud. And let's be very clear about this. People in the Obama administration knew that his economic stimulus package wasn't going to work. They know it. They're not stupid. This wasn't some serious attempt to get us out of a recession, because if they were serious, they would have done the one thing that has worked again and again. It worked for Reagan, it worked for Kennedy, it's worked for every successful president. You cut taxes. You cut business taxes, you cut corporate taxes, you cut individual taxes, you cut capital gains taxes, you cut them across the board. But what Obama did was he did something else. He did what the left accused George Bush of doing. If you remember the argument that the left made under the Bush presidency, they said it again and again and again, that George Bush and the Republicans used the phony crisis of the war on terror, that they used the attacks on September 11 to a huge expansion of government, to usurp fundamental liberties and freedoms, enhance executive power, increase the power of the presidency, declare supposedly preemptive wars and wars of aggression. In other words, this had unleashed an American military monster upon the world. This was the left's argument. And yet, like communists before them, I remember this because they did it to my father and my grandfather. When the communists accused somebody of something, it's because they were doing it themselves. They accused everybody else of espionage and mass murder and dictatorship and totalitarianism, and that's exactly what they did. And so the left came into power, and what did they do? They used a supposed economic 9/11. They created a false sense of crisis. People were going to be jumping out of windows. This was the worst economy since the Great Depression. 20-25% unemployment, soup lines. Houses were going to be, nobody can pay their houses. Every bank was going to fail. You weren't going to have a job. You were going to be thrown out on the streets. You were going to be poor. We were going to be like Africa. Literally, Africa would have it better than we had it, the way these guys were spinning it. The sky was falling. And only the political messiah, Barack Obama, could part the political waters and lead us to the promised land. We had to pass that economic stimulus package. It was our salvation, according to Joe Biden. And now, and they knew perfectly well what they were doing. This was a political payoff to every Democratic constituency group. And more than that, this was now their chance to implement socialism. They drummed up a phony crisis. Every country has recessions. Economy goes up, economy goes down. It's no worse than the recession of 1981-82. Recession of 1973-75. People have recessions. It's not the end of the world. In fact, as I speak to you right now, members of the Savage Nation, Germany and France are out of their recession. Canada's economy is growing. Our northern neighbor, they're out of their recession. And you know what they did? They didn't use borrowing and spending. They didn't have a massive economic stimulus package. They didn't use a massive expansion of government. No, they tightened their belts. They balanced their budgets. They watch what they spend. They cut and trim taxes. And before you know it, shazam, 6 to 9 months later, their economy is growing again. But ours continues to drop like a stone. And yet, rather than hold this man accountable, what is the leftist press coming? To me, I honestly, I find it almost laughable. I swear to you, I find it laughable. You read all these press accounts. Well, it could be much worse. It's 9.7%. But oh my God, his economic recovery package, it saved 150,000 jobs. Where do you get these numbers? I mean, Joe Biden comes out with this speech. It saved 150,000 jobs. What are you, just making it up? You just make it up as you go along? I mean, to me, if you're going to start lying, why stop at 150,000? He saved 500,000. He saved 1 million jobs. Hell, he saved everybody. And this is the point. These are people who have no idea how to run a country and how to run an economy. And now the economy is starting to fall and collapse all around them. And they have made promise after promise after promise. And the economy is not getting better. Their stimulus package has not worked. Their massive expansion of government has done nothing to revive the economy. And now his crown jewel, the healthcare package, the government takeover of healthcare. This was going to put the final nail in capitalist America. This was going to create now a European-style welfare state forever. This would enshrine Obama as the second coming of FDR, nationalized medicine. And now, it is even that is now starting to slip away from his grasp. Liberal Democrats are now coming out saying, if the public option is taken off the table, we will vote against any bill. Republicans and conservative Democrats are now saying, no public option, because a public option is a road to socialized medicine. And my friends, let me just say this. I don't care about a lot of things that the left does. I honestly don't. I really don't. If they want to believe in global warming, that's a fiction, but they can believe it. If they want to believe that McDonald's and Burger King are a curse upon the earth, let them believe it. Frankly, I like a good Whopper. I really do. But if there's one thing I find profoundly disgusting, is when the left goes out, when people like Ted Kennedy was going around saying that America is a second-class nation because we don't have universal health care. He is a liar. He lied about that woman that he killed in Chappaquiddick. And that's what I find disgusting about what the media has done with him, lionizing him as this great liberal, when in fact he was the one that was behind the wheel on that bridge, drunk like a skunk, and he drove that car over and he let that woman die. He is a murderer. And if nobody else in the mainstream media has the guts to say it, I will say it. But his big cause, nationalized medicine. I am originally from Canada. I have seen socialized medicine up close and up front. My mother, God rest her soul, was stricken with pancreatic cancer 5 years ago. She still lived in Canada. You have no idea how degrading and poor the treatment was for her. Do you know the longest time a doctor spent with my mother, who was then 65? 2.5 minutes. Okay? 150 seconds. That's all they were able to give my mother as she was getting treatment for her pancreatic cancer. And she ended up dying in a hospital bed with no nursing care and no health care. That is the horror of nationalized medicine. So my friends, when these liberals run around and saying you need a public option, when people like Nancy Pelosi are threatening lawmakers that they have to support a public option, you have to stand up and say clearly and unequivocally, no socialized medicine here in America. Obama thinks that he can pass it. But my friends, the American people are now starting to realize the horrors of socialized medicine. And the more they see it, the more the backlash is growing. His presidency is crumbling all around us. And my friends, we have heard from him. But in 2010, they will hear from us. I am Jeff Kuhner, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We'll be right back after this break. The number to call, 1-800-449-8255.
Savage.
This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times, filling in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Welcome back, one and all. Is the Obama presidency imploding? Is his incompetence now starting to finally catch up with him and the Democrats? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. People like Michael and myself have been warning this country now for really for the last year, even before he became president, what a socialist thug President Obama is. And for those of you that want to doubt it, well, and you're saying you didn't expect it. Well, we have a nice clip of Obama on the campaign trail, and he was just telling us just a hint, just a taste of what we were in store for.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Yep, a civilian security force, just as strong, just as powerful. Sure, those are his fascist brown shirts. Obama is a national socialist. He is a liberal fascist. And what we are now seeing in this country is an attempt to ram national socialism down our throat. They now have, they're empowering the Justice Department and the FBI to spy on pro-life groups, to spy on anti-illegal immigration groups. They now are trying to ram nationalized health care. They have now taken over the banking sector, the automaking sector, the financial sector. I mean, there's almost nothing left. There is now a slow government takeover of almost every sector of our society. And we are now slowly becoming a socialist superstate. And now Obama, you'll see, eventually will pull out his civilian security force, his fascist brown shirts. And the only thing stopping him right now is conservative talk radio. And that's why we are now leading a conservative backlash. But my friends, make no mistake about it. This is an utterly inept and incompetent administration. Take a look at his environmental czar, that moron, Van Jones. He just came out with another inflammatory statement. This is just on the Drudge Report. He has now come out and said that black students would never have committed a Columbine. In other words, black students don't commit mass murders at schools. Only white students do that. He calls that white suburban students commit mass murders. This man is an utter imbecile. This is the same man who signed a petition saying that 9/11 was an inside job, that 9/11 was committed by people within the American government. This man is a leftist Marxist crackpot, and he is Obama's advisor on the environment and on creating so-called green jobs. These are the kinds of fanatics, of Marxist, socialist, fascist fanatics that are staffing the Obama administration. They're not just ideologically crazy. They're also profoundly incompetent and inept. And now, as we start Labor Day weekend, the American people are starting to finally realize they have a sham and a fraud as president. In other words, we were right. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage. The number to call is 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. Is Obama's presidency imploding in front of our very eyes? Do you think Americans are finally starting to get buyer's remorse? Are they now finally starting to regret having elected that socialist Marxist fraud of a president to the White House? Before I kick to some phone lines, please go to michaelsavage.com. There are some excellent stories up there, not just about Michael's invitation to talk to the Cambridge Union about him being blacklisted, but about the fact that the economy now is at 9.7% unemployment. The economy is now continuing to spiral downwards despite literally record deficits that are crushing this country and destroying our long-term economic future. And then that moron, Van Jones, the one who actually believes that 9/11 was an inside job, Obama's green job czar, a very good story up on michaelsavage.com about him, and in particular why, believe it or not, he still has the confidence of President Barack Hussein Obama. The number to call again is 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Gary in San Diego. Gary, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, and great job, Mr. Cooner. You are really hitting the nail right on the head.
Thanks, Gary.
Yes, I do agree that it is imploding, and the reason it is because the American people are finally waking up to what I can only call, and many others say, is the biggest single financial con job in the history of the world. We are witnessing an orgy of corruption of a proportion that we have never seen throughout any of our planet's history. This situation is so utterly out of control, and it started in earnest under George Bush with the bailout fever. And now, as you mentioned, the cancer has metastasized. It's taken over our banks, insurance, auto. Now he wants to take over the little minds of our school children. They're going desperately with a knife to the heart with the health care system. And basically, I am stunned and amazed. And I'm hoping that the 9/12 protests that come on up next week with people all across the country with a march on D.C. as well, we should be demanding justice. These guys talk about social justice. We want our damn money back. We want the trillions of dollars that these guys have stolen from us.
No, exactly, Gary. Gary, you know, look, you have been betrayed by the political class in Washington, D.C., in the city that I work and live in. These are people, both Republicans and Democrats, who have perpetuated a giant con job upon you, the American people. And what they have done, and it began with George Bush, is they have spent your money, billions and trillions of dollars, down a rat hole. And these people are political gangsters. There's no other word for it. And they have no sense of patriotism, no sense of civic duty, no sense of what it is to be an American. The privilege and the honor of being an American. That we come from the greatest founding fathers in the history of the world. That our Constitution is the envy of the world. And instead of cherishing that and nurturing that and cultivating that, they have thrown it all down a gutter into a sewer. And so what you've been seeing under Bush was we saw deficit after deficit after deficit. We saw an attempt to give amnesty to illegal immigrants. And then when we got hit with an economic crisis, it was a recession brought upon by massive corruption on Wall Street. And that corruption was done by people at Lehman Brothers and Goldman Sachs. And these bankers made out like bandits. They have made literally tens of billions of dollars on your back. And so they took our money to bail them out. And the argument they kept using was, again, it was a scare tactic. It was they're too big to fail. If they fail, the entire country will collapse. The entire world will collapse. And they did that to try to get you, to browbeat you, to intimidate and scare you, just as the Nazis did, frankly, and as the communists did. That's all they kept doing. It's propaganda after propaganda, where they stand there and they try to scare you out of your tax money. And now we have to live with the wreckage. No matter what happens, there is no getting around this fact. Under this administration, Bush was bad, but believe me, he was nothing compared to Barack Obama. Under this administration, he is now planning to spend more money, literally in one administration, than all 43 previous presidencies combined. We are going to add, listen to me very carefully, $10 trillion with a T of debt onto our children and our grandchildren. We are bankrupting ourselves. No country can dig out from under this kind of mountain of debt. This is what this man has saddled us with. And then you have that moron. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, this is almost the Twilight Zone. This guy, Van Jones, stand back for a second. He is the advisor to the President of the United States, the leader of the free world. People, you don't understand something. I know you're living in Texas, you're living in Wyoming, you're living in Utah as you listen to me right now. You got problems, you got concerns, you got to feed your children, you got to keep your jobs, you got to pay your bills. But I'm telling you, one of the privileges of working at the Washington Times is I get to travel. And I've traveled all over the world. I've been to Europe, I've been to Asia, I've been to Latin America, you name it, I've been there. We are looked upon as literally the citadel of civilization. We stand for all that is good and free in the world. We are the last hope of mankind. People yearn not only to come to this country, but to be like this country. When you have an advisor to the President of the United States, I'm not talking about the President of Russia or Tanzania or Bangladesh, but to the United States of America, the man who was responsible for creating so-called green jobs, honestly believe that 9/11 was committed by the American government, that it was an inside job, that we knew about it, and that we allowed it to happen. This man is insane, and that he still is in the White House, that this man has not been fired. I mean, this to me is a scandal. It is unbelievable. The inmates are running the asylum. There's no other way to put it. And what's happening as the inmates are running the asylum, I have to be frank with you. We are losing the war in Iraq. We are losing the war in Afghanistan. Our enemies are getting stronger and emboldened. Communist China is buying up our debt. We are now becoming owned. We are going the way of the Roman Empire. We are sliding into decay, chaos, and decline. And now we conservatives are finally rising up. I have been waiting for this sleeping giant my entire life. And finally, we are making our stand and we are saying enough is enough. And Obama's poll numbers are plummeting. And I have one word for all these liberal thugs. You have had your way. And you have feasted upon the American body politic. And you have feasted upon our money. And you have swindled us and lied to us. But now the people have risen. And now with one voice, believe me, with one voice, we are speaking up. And come November 2010, we have heard from you. And you have now occupied our government. But pretty soon you will learn one thing about America. This is still not socialist Europe. This is still not communist Russia. This is still not communist China. Here we have something called elections. And you work for us. And we're going to kick you out of office. Trust me, we are going to rise up and we're going to vote every one of these traitors and every one of these gangsters and swindlers out of office. Tim in Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I wanted to weigh in on your first topic about Michael going over to London and present. I think, yes, he should engage this debate. Dr. Savage is a critical thinker. He's got discernment. He has integrity. And in essence, he could take this mess and turn it into a message. What we're witnessing is a living instrument here, and it's a case study in action. And actually, I'm applying this with some of my students to be studying this very topic and look at all the ramifications of it and the balance and how his fight is going to help us learn for the future.
Tim, I completely agree with you. Again, this is a very personal decision. I don't want to seem like I'm pushing Michael to do anything. This is a very difficult decision. I mean, you have to stand back for a second. This is a man. It's more than just the fact that his reputation has been slandered, it libeled, smeared. It's his own personal safety. When you are banned and blacklisted from the British government, from British soil, because according to the British government, now remember this, we know it's a sham and a fraud, but to the average person in the UK who's never heard Michael Savage, who's never listened to him, listened to his show, read any of his books, doesn't know him from a hole in the wall. All he knows is this. This guy's a hate peddler. This guy, according to the British government, is basically the equivalent of a Russian Nazi, of a Hamas, Hezbollah murdering scumbag. He is the equivalent of a jihadist, of a terrorist. Now, if I'm some deranged left winger, I'll be very honest with you. I'm some crazy guy in an asylum, and I'll be very honest with you. I've been to England many times. To me, half the population seems deranged. I'm not going to lie to you. I met a German guy once. We were just chatting, and he said to me, "You know, is it just you? But I really don't like a lot of people in England." I said, "I'm with you, buddy. I'm really with you." He said, "You know what my theory is?" I said, "What?" He said, "I think it's mad cow disease. All their cows are mad cow disease. I think they eat too much of their own beef, and it's infected their brains." I said, "You know what? I think you're right. I really do. But let that go. If I'm some deranged leftist in England, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to strike a blow for all that's good and decent. I mean, I can't kill these jihadists, or I don't care about these jihadists, but I can get this radical right winger, this racist right winger who's supposedly calling for the murder of Muslims." In other words, he is living under danger. They have put a massive target on his back. That's why he not only has grounds for a lawsuit, I believe, not only on freedom of speech grounds, he has a lawsuit on personal security grounds. They have put him in personal danger. They have behaved recklessly and irresponsibly. And any sane, healthy society can see this. I mean, look, has he planted bombs? No. Has he even said to plant bombs? No. Has he beheaded anybody? No. Has he called for anybody to be beheaded? No. So why is he on that list? Now, I don't want to berate this point, but the question, this is if Michael is listening. Here's the question I would pose to the Cambridge Union, and it's a question they can't answer. If I'm such a danger, if I have to be blacklisted because supposedly my views defending American borders, or my views saying we have to win the war in Iraq, that we have to defeat radical Islamists who want to wipe us off this earth, if they're so threatening, you tell me, why is George Galloway, who is a member of parliament and more than that, a prominent radio talk show host in Britain. He has a show on 3 or 4 times a week. He is a prominent radical anti-war leftist. This is a man who personally kissed Saddam Hussein's ring. He went to Iraq and called him dear leader. He supported Saddam Hussein. He opposed the invasion in Iraq. He has supported Hamas and Hezbollah openly, nakedly. He even went to Syria to that butcher, Bashar al-Assad, and addressed him and the Syrian parliament. This is a man who has openly cavorted and allied himself and hung around known terrorists and mass murderers. He calls Israel a terrorist state. He is a vicious anti-Semite. He supports every murder of Jews and of Americans. And yet he is allowed to peddle his hatred on British airways. He's not banned from Britain. He's not banned from being on the air. Hell, he's not even banned from coming into the United States. But Michael Savage is banned for coming to Britain. Now, if they can square that circle, if they can say why yes to George Galloway, but no to Michael Savage, then maybe we'll listen to them. But they can't. And that's the point. They're a bunch of liars, and they're a bunch of ideologues, and they're a bunch of haters. And that's what the left has always been. But they picked with the wrong guy. Because whether they like it or not, this has only made Savage stronger, bolder, and even more popular. And if he does show up on October 15th, he is going to give them a surprise like they've never seen. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number to call is 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. Is the Obama presidency imploding? Gary from Chicago, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, sir. Thank you very much for having me on. Fully, absolutely, 100% believe that it's imploding, and this is exactly what I expected. And yet, people within my age group, I'm 26 years old, and people within my age group, a little bit older and a little bit younger, some of them, actually, I'd say a lot of them still do not believe this. They still believe he's the Messiah. They still believe everything's going fine, and they make excuse after excuse of why things aren't going well and why, oh, it's only been 8 months. Give them a chance, blah, 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 blah.
Gary, let me ask you this. How old are you?
I'm 26 years old.
Yeah, you're 26 years old. Yeah, you sound like somebody in your 20s. I'm not surprised. And the reason why I'm not surprised is because essentially our youth have been brainwashed. This has been going on now for the last several decades. The liberals have had a deliberate program of taking over the public schools, taking over the universities, taking over our colleges, and they are now teaching literally their crazy left-wing ideas. They are the ones that are promoting gay marriage. They are peddling the myth of man-made global warming. They are the ones that are talking about America as the evil empire in the world, and basically we brought 9/11 upon ourselves. They are the ones that are preaching hatred for their own countries, for their own country. And so what you've been seeing among the youth is a form of self-hatred. Americans now, to me, you want to understand liberalism. Liberalism is a form of anti-Americanism at its core. A liberal is a self-hating American. He hates his history. He hates his country. He hates his system of way of life. He hates its capitalist ethos. He hates its sense of individual justice. He hates everything about it. He believes basically you were founded by slaveholding white men. And that's what liberals fundamentally believe, and that's what they teach. So the fact that now you have an African-American in power, they think that's somehow a revolutionary in race relations. It isn't. We live in a colorblind society. The race of somebody is completely irrelevant. It should be irrelevant. And for the most part, it is. Today, race relations have never been better in the history of the United States. And let me make another statement. Having traveled all over the world, I can say this clearly and unequivocally. There is no other country in the world, I challenge any leftist or liberal out there, that has better race relations or has treated minorities better than the United States. Not one. And yet we are to apologize? Obama goes around the world apologizing to everybody. He goes to Cairo. He goes to Russia. Wherever he goes. Honestly, I can't keep track anymore. He goes to Europe. He's always apologizing. For what? Tell me, for what? For creating the freest, most decent, most prosperous, most just society in the history of the world? We're apologizing for that? So no, I'm not surprised that many young people who voted for him, they are so brainwashed with socialism, so brainwashed with Marxism, they so hate their own country. No, they will excuse and rationalize everything this man does. But that's not the point. The point is that people who pay taxes, people who have to work for a living, people in the middle class, independents, people in the heartland. People are now finally waking up and they are now asking themselves, are we losing our country? And many have now concluded yes. They are now seeing this man for who he is. He is no Messiah. You know what he is? He's a typical, corrupt, stupid liberal. That's all he is. And his numbers are going down and his presidency is going down. This is Jeff Cooner filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the great Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael is off today, taking a much-needed day off, but he will definitely be back, batteries recharged and ready to go. Michael, if you're out there listening, I just want to thank you once again for the incredible honor and privilege of just sitting into your giant, trying to sit in and fill your giant, giant shoes. You are not just, I believe, the heavyweight radio champion of the world, but I also believe in many ways you are a very kind and decent man, and I want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity. It is just such an honor and a privilege to speak to all of you out there in the Savage Nation. We got some nice political stories I want to talk to you about for this half hour. You can go to michaelsavage.com to read some of them, both on Nancy Pelosi and Charlie Rangel. And really, my friends, I think what is now starting to happen is as Obama's presidency slowly is imploding and as his poll numbers drop, it is not just the socialism and the incompetence that people are reacting to, but they're reacting to something I think even more visceral and in many ways even more dangerous. And that is the massive corruption that is now occurring on Washington, D.C. We saw it under the Clintons. It was very bad. We saw it under George Bush. It was also very bad. But there is now a level of arrogance and a level of hubris that to me is almost unprecedented. They truly now believe that they, the Democrats, are a ruling elite who are entitled to run this country and ram any piece of legislation that they want, whether you like it or not, right down your throats. And so as Obama's poll numbers drop, as the American people now slowly but surely turn against government-run health care, the Democrats are now in a panic. My sources on Capitol Hill have been telling me they are now concerned that maybe the public option, which is the bitter pill, the poison pill that will destroy American health care as we know it and bring about a single-payer health system, that the public option is now in very serious jeopardy. They are seeing town halls all across this country. They are seeing angry Americans. They are seeing tea parties, and they are seeing protests. And they are now seeing conservative America wake up from its knees and now stand up and defend our fundamental rights and liberties. And as this is going on, the Democrats, for the first time since they got their election in November of 2008, are afraid. They are genuinely afraid. They now believe that maybe their great victory, their crown jewel, nationalized medicine, socialized medicine, is going to slip through their grasp. And so the thug, Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, to me, one of the most revolting politicians I have ever seen, not just because I disagree with her views. There are many people whose views I disagree with. I don't take Russ Feingold, senator from Wisconsin. Yes, he's a hard left winger. I don't particularly care for any of his opinions. But what to me is particularly disgusting about Pelosi is she is a political gangster. She is a thug. She is the kind of person that literally, had she been born in Russia, she would have been perfect for the Russian mob. She is somebody who literally can come into a room, put a gun on a table, belt back a glass of vodka and say, give me your money. Give me your money right now. That's the kind of woman Nancy Pelosi is. And so what she is now doing is she's trying now to crack heads and get her Democrats in line. And in particular, she is now threatening the insurance companies. Because what's happening is this. As the public option becomes more and more disagreeable to Americans, some turncoat Republicans, especially liberal Republicans like Senator Olympia Snowe from Maine, who to me is essentially a Democrat. She's a Republican in name only, a rhino. She is coming out with something that they're calling a trigger. Now, what this is this. These moderate Republicans are saying, look, let's not put a public option into the bill. Let's leave it out for now. But we're going to force the health insurance industry to pass market reforms. And these reforms have to have benchmarks that will assure quality and will assure access and affordability. Now, if those benchmarks are not achieved, then this will initiate what they call, quote, a trigger. It will trigger the public option. Then the public option will automatically kick in where you will have a government-run health care plan. And many Americans will be forced to take that government health care plan. So Nancy Pelosi, now we're going to have a nice clip where Nancy Pelosi openly threatens the insurance companies, where she says this, like a good Russian gangster. She says, take my offer or else. Play it, boys.
If they want no public option but a trigger, you can be sure that the trigger will bring on a very robust public option. So if I were advising the insurance company, I'd tell them, take this bill the way it is now. The best preparation for combat is combat. Our members have been engaged in the trenches on this issue. When they come back to Washington, they're ready for the fight.
Make him an offer he can't refuse. That's Nancy Pelosi in a nutshell. That's what you're seeing right there. She's basically telling the health insurance, the insurance companies, listen, either you accept government-run health care, you accept the public option, or I'll tell you what, we're going to get this trigger put into this bill, and when the benchmarks aren't achieved, oh man, we're going to give you even bigger government-run health care. We're going to really soak you. We're going to really tax you. We're going to really regulate you. We're going to bury you. So it's either our bill or even a worse bill. Now, that to me, that's a threat. She's trying to blackmail and extort the insurance companies. That is political corruption. It is naked. It is right there. And then right across the aisle, as she's threatening the health insurance companies, there we have the almost the gangster in chief, if you want to call him the mafia don of the House of Representatives, Charlie Rangel. Lionized by the New York Times and the Washington Post for years as this great civil rights leader, a great liberal, almost the akin of Ted Kennedy, a liberal lion. Well, now, sexy Charlie, we've now found out that Charlie Rangel has been hiding money. Charlie Rangel has not been disclosing money. He's the congressman from Harlem. Well, for a congressman from Harlem making, what, $160,000, $170,000 a year, Charlie has done very well for himself. He has a house in the Dominican Republic, we've just found out. He just sold a condominium in Florida. He's got four apartments in New York City that he's getting rental income from. He's made a lot of money on stocks and mutual bonds, playing the stock market. And none of that was disclosed. For between 2002 and 2006, we've now just found out there's an ethics investigation. House Ethics Committee has been investigating him. There's been a cloud over him. And now they have found out he never disclosed any of that income. He's a tax cheat. He's a fraud. He's a swindler. So, you see, you have to pay your taxes, kicking down your door. And you have to pay every last penny. But no, not for these liberal, not for these apparatchiks, for these gangsters that run Washington, D.C. So there you have sexy Charlie. Now, literally swindling the American taxpayer. Corruption at its absolute worst. Here is a man who's basic. He's a thief. There's no other word for it. He has basically been stealing money and then and not disclosing it to the American people and basically cheating the American government out of tens and tens of thousands of dollars. And I want to know where he got the money for his sexy villa in the Dominican Republic or his sexy condo in Florida or all that rental income. But according to Charlie Rangel, what's the problem? Roll it, boys.
There may be a reason for Rangel's arrogance. CBS 2 has discovered that since ethics probes began last year, the 79-year-old congressman has given campaign donations to 119 members of Congress, including three of the five Democrats on the House Ethics Committee who are charged with investigating him. Charlie's angels on the House Ethics Committee include Congressman Ben Chandler of Kentucky, G.K. Butterfield of North Carolina, and Peter Welch of Vermont, who have all received donations from Rangel.
I recognize that all of you have an obligation to ask questions, knowing that there's none of you smart enough to frame it in such a way that I'm going to respond.
Can you believe this guy? The arrogance of this guy. We can't ask him a smart enough question to get an answer from him? And did you catch? And the other thing is, the other revelation that's just come out, he's been taking campaign contributions and then siphoning it off to people, his friends and cronies on the ethics committee, the very people that are supposed to be investigating him. Those are basically kickbacks. He's basically, that's hush money. Here are my campaign contributions. Let me throw it into your accounts so you guys are okay for your reelection. You sure you want to investigate me that hard? This is political gangsterism at its absolute worst. Yet the liberals, like Nancy Pelosi and Charlie Rangel and Barack Obama, keep talking about social justice, the poor, the weak, when in reality, they are bleeding this country white. They are stealing from people like you and people like me. And you know what? It is precisely this arrogance that I believe is going to destroy the Democrats. You know what? It was arrogance. It was the likes of Jack Abramoff and Tom DeLay and all these other corrupt Republicans that cost them control of Congress in 2006. Well, my friends, it's only 2009. They're barely 3 years into their majority. But you mark my words, it is this corruption that is going to cost Democrats their majorities in both the House and the Senate. I want to hear from you. Is corruption out of control? Should Charlie Rangel step down from the House Ways and Means Committee? Is he a crook? And is Nancy Pelosi a political thug? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Should Congressman Charlie Rangel step down from the House Ways and Means Committee, the primary committee that's responsible for writing our tax laws? The Washington Post today, in fact, wrote an editorial asking that he should step down. Should there even be a recall vote? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Richard in San Francisco. Richard, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. First of all, as far as Charlie Rangel, I don't think he should step down. I think he should be in prison. Okay, now that I got that out of the way, let me tell you, this stimulus package and all this stuff that's going on, it shouldn't surprise you. Obama, Pelosi, Reid, they all work for George Soros. Now, Michael has talked about the fact that George Soros almost collapsed the monetary fund in England. He's going to do the same thing here. He's going to collapse our dollar, and he benefits from this. And George Soros and Pelosi and Reid are all going to do the same. So this shouldn't surprise you. They want to go into it.
No, Richard, you're right. This shouldn't surprise us. George Soros is a vicious, anti-American, radical left-winger who has despised this country for decades. And to me, what I find particularly sickening is, again, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but having parents and grandparents, my father was a year and a half in a concentration camp, 3 years in a communist concentration camp. He was persecuted by the Nazis. George Soros, who is, I mean, I don't care, but he is Jewish, Many of his family were persecuted by Nazis. He came to America, and this was the land of opportunity. And he fled communism, and he basically was given a wonderful opportunity. He made a ton of money. He became extremely rich, basically a billionaire, by manipulating the international currency market. And rather than being grateful for the country that took him in, for the country that gave him refuge from the greatest system of mass murder ever invented, where his family members and his relatives were being butchered, first by the Nazis and then by the communists, he comes here, makes billions of dollars, and then turns on this country and stands there and calls us a terrorist nation, who stands there and says we are a nation founded upon war crimes, that George Bush is the Hitler of our time, that the problem is not Osama bin Laden, the problem is not Hezbollah, the problem is not Saddam Hussein, it's Bush and the United States. And this is the man who is the sugar daddy for the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is bought and paid for by neo-Marxists like George Soros. And this is a man who calls for abortion on demand, for the legalization of drugs, for gay marriage, you name it, every sick left-wing cause. This man genuinely believes that there should be no borders. He has openly said this. This is not like a conspiracy theory. It is in his books. It's in his writings. Actually, I wrote a huge piece for the Washington Times many years ago, exposing George Soros' worldview. This is a man who believes there should be no borders, that the American, Canadian, and American Mexican border should be erased, that literally we should take in every immigrant from all over the world. In other words, he wants to inundate us with the entire world's population. He wants a one-world government led by the United Nations. This is how radically left-wing George Soros is. And yet nobody in the mainstream media ever says the key question. Who pays the piper plays the tune. He has been paying the Democratic piper now for nearly 15 years. Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and Barack Obama are in his pocket. And yet nobody wants to show this connection between these two men. But here on the Savage Nation, we ask these kinds of questions. I'm Jeff Kuhner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Congressman Charlie Rangel, chairman of the powerful House Ways and Means Committee, writes highly complicated tax laws. So it raised quite a few eyebrows when he recently revised 6 years of financial disclosure statements, revealing more than $600,000 in previously unreported assets and thousands of dollars in income.
There you go. There's Charlie Rangel, apparently now caught in a major ethics investigation. If you go to michaelsavage.com, you can see, in fact, that there's a wonderful story up, again, exposing what a race monger and hate monger Charlie Rangel has always been. Here is a man who now facing serious ethical questions, a man who, as the clip just showed, is somebody who's been writing tax laws for this country, who has now been hiding his money. He has been manipulating the tax code and hiding his money, basically swindling American taxpayers of tens of thousands of dollars in undeclared income, with now a lavish villa in the Dominican Republic, a nice sexy condo in Florida that he just sold. He's got rental property. He's got investments up the wazoo. He's got stocks, mutual funds. Charlie Rangel has done extremely, extremely well for himself. So you can go to michaelsavage.com, get everything. But, you know, like a typical liberal, when the issue is about his corruption, what does he do? He plays the race card. That's what he does. And so at a recent healthcare forum, what does Charlie Rangel come out and say? You guessed it. You don't even have to have me say it. Everybody who opposes the national health care bill is exhibiting prejudice or bias. You see, whether you know it or not, you're a racist for opposing Obama's health care bill, according to sexy Charlie Rangel. And so here he is again, trying to play the politics of race, going into the gutter, and trying again to divide Americans among themselves to distract the issue from what's really going on here, which is that he's been swindling the American taxpayer for the last 6 years, and now investigators are closing in on him. That's the kind of guy Charlie Rangel is. This is Jeff Kooner from The Washington Times, sitting in, obviously, for the living legend Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. I want to hear from you. The number is 1-800-449-8255. Is Charlie Rangel a crook? And do you think it's time for him to go, to step down from the House Ways and Means Committee, and even to be recalled in a special election? Let's go to Kirk in San Diego. Kirk, welcome to The Savage Nation.
Hey, Jeff, you were talking about the arrogance of our elected officials, and I wanted to share an example with you at a local health care forum we had down here in San Diego with Congressman Susan Davis. One of the individuals in the audience asked an interesting question about a poll she had on her site where it said that 85% of her constituents had voted in this poll, said they were against the public option. And so his question to her was, how are you going to vote on this? And one of the things he reminded her is, you work for us. And she said, well, you know what, I support this bill, and I'm going to have to vote my conscience. And, you know, as I was listening to that, I was thinking, you know what, a perfect demonstration of, regardless of what people say, the constituents that you work for, you're going to do what you want to do.
Exactly. No, Kirk, that's, look, I live, eat, and breathe this every day. I look, to me, this is not a perk of the job as a columnist here at the Washington Times. To me, this is a liability of the job. I have to be with these people on a regular basis. I know the arrogance of these members of Congress. They don't give a damn what you think. You want to know what they really think of people like you in San Diego and all across the country? In their heart of hearts, when they go down to their clubhouses and have a few drinks, I know because I've heard them. They think people like you are peasants. They think people like you are hicks. They think people like you should basically be serfs who work for them. Because you see, they're the enlightened ones. They're the privileged liberal elite. And they see things that you just don't see. You see, you don't understand this. But believing in God, that's so passé. Believing in country and being a patriot, that's so gauche. That's so passé. To believe in capitalism, how could you possibly believe in capitalism? How could you possibly believe in the traditional family? So, no, it doesn't matter what you think, because in their mind, they honestly think they have a right to rule. This is the arrogance. They have become an imperial ruling class. They truly believe that it is their right to govern. And what we are now slowly entering into, and you're seeing it very clearly in Europe. See, this is the thing that bothers me about American conservatives. I have one critique of American conservatives. They understand how special and rare and unique America is. But they don't understand that what eventually happens in Europe, what happens in Canada, what happens around the world, it comes to us. We're not immune to that. And what you're seeing in Europe is the future. And Europe is now no longer a democracy. The European Union is not democratic. It is a post-democracy. Liberal elites run Europe. And it doesn't matter what the people think. They don't give a damn. And that's what's happening here. We are going the way of Europe. When Obama apologizes for his country, he is really saying he's ashamed to be an American. He wishes he was a European. He truly does. And so these people don't give a damn. We are now slowly entering a post-democracy. And this is what has stunned them about these town hall meetings. They thought they had subdued you. They thought they had rammed so much propaganda down your throat that so scared you with the supposed economic crisis, so scared you with the supposed phony healthcare crisis, so scared you with the phony global warming crisis that you were going to accept everything and just shut up. Just be quiet. But you have now risen. And so now they're basically telling you, go fly a kite. But on, yeah, sure, to ram socialized medicine down your throat, they have to vote their conscience. What about on protecting the unborn? What about on protecting those poor innocent babies that are slaughtered every year in abortion clinics? Our Holocaust, the West's Holocaust. Suddenly they don't vote their conscience on that. Oh, no, 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 no. No, it's science. It's fashionable opinion. No, no, no. Opinion polls show many Americans support abortion rights. I have to go with my constituents. So sure, when it comes to the mass murder of babies, suddenly you don't vote your conscience. But to strip you of your economic rights, of your rights to your own health care, the most fundamental right of all, the right for you to take care of yourself and your family. No, 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 no. I don't care what you say. The government's going to control that. That's their arrogance. That's their hubris. And that's what we have to stop. Let's go to Joe in New York. Joe, you're listening to Jeff Kuhner on the Savage Nation. Welcome, my friend. Hello, Joe. Okay, let's go to Juanita in Sacramento. Juanita, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Mr. Kuhner. Thank you. I would like to comment on Dr. Savage clearing his name. I think Dr. Savage should defend his good name and not let the liberals intimidate him and put all that fear into him. My advice is to say what you have to say, do what you have to do, and be where you should be. Make your case, Michael.
Amen. Anita, amen. I couldn't agree with you more. Obviously, again, I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse here or sound like a broken record. This is obviously his decision. I don't want to make it seem like I'm forcing him to do anything because it's not my place. And frankly, I have too much respect for him. I know I can just sense, but being a journalist myself, I have gotten many death threats. I know what it's like to be in the center of a storm. I know what it's like when people are trying to destroy you. I know the immense pressure that that has and that entails, the pressure on you, the pressure on your family. To be blacklisted, to be banned is almost one of the worst things you can do to somebody. It is literally a black mark. It is a target right between his eyes. To me, this is a case of personally endangering the safety of Michael Savage. So he's going to have to make a very personal decision. To me, what I have to say, and I'll be very frank with you, I am not saying this because I've had the honor and privilege to guest host for him. If Michael Savage today decides never to have me fill in for him again, I stand by this comment 110% because I'm not a brown noser. I've never been a brown noser. His courage and bravery continues to inspire me every day, and my admiration for him grows every day. Because what I love about him is he is a man after my own heart. He is a true independent conservative. He is a true maverick. He speaks his mind. Look at him. He doesn't bow down to the powers at Fox News or to Rupert Murdoch or to all these other conservative talk show hosts who basically think and speak the literally like a bunch of trained seals. He speaks his own mind, and he has challenged the Obama administration. He challenged the Bush administration, and now he's going up against the full weight and power of the British government. He has radical Muslims after him. He has CARE trying to boycott him. He's taking all comers. He is a man of immense courage. He is truly, I believe, a living legend. I don't say that lightly. He is an American icon, and he represents the best of America, and he is a true individualist. And remember this, when people call him a nativist and a hater, he is the son and grandson of immigrants, just like myself. He is somebody, his ancestors didn't come off the Mayflower. They didn't help write the Constitution. He's not somebody who's got the third or the fourth or the fifth after his last name, as a lot of these phony, pretentious WASPs like to do. He is somebody whose parents came to this country penniless, or grandparents, and he made something of himself. He is the embodiment of the American dream. And it is these kinds of people that love America, I believe, to their deepest, deepest inner recesses of their soul, because they know how special and how rare it is. And that's why I believe we have to support him. I don't care if you like him. I don't care if you agree with him. Freedom of speech is our most fundamental right. If we lose that, we lose everything. Let's go to Jed in North Carolina. Jed, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes. Are you there?
Yes, you're on the air, Jed.
Okay. Yeah, I was just gonna comment on what you asked earlier about whether or not Congress was corrupt and the corruptness of like the Charlie Fangle incident.
Yes.
And, you know, I just want to say that, you know, it really, they're definitely corrupt. I mean, you know, I don't know specific details about a lot of different things, but one big thing I do know is the money spending. And it really, to me, being a taxpayer and American citizen, to know that my money is going somewhere and I have no say-so about where it goes, even though I voted to the people that represent me to take care of this money, and they're not doing it. And half $1 million can go to convicted felons or anywhere else that we have no say-so what to do. And the
Jed,
fact that
they, Jed, you're completely right. They have been robbing people like you and the American taxpayer blind for decades. That is the essence of liberalism. What liberalism does is this. It takes from the tax producers, people who work for a living, who generate income and pay their taxes, and it gives it to the tax consumers, the welfare bums, the drug addicts, government bureaucrats, these phony environmentalists, illegal aliens, and illegal immigrants who are bankrupting our hospitals and bankrupting our schools. That's what this is, because liberalism wants to buy votes. And that is the biggest corruption of all. Our tax money is being used not because it's rational or efficient or the right thing to do. Most of the time it's being done to buy votes. And that's what liberals have been doing, frankly, since FDR. The New Deal was the biggest sham in American history. And the Obama program, his Obamanomics, is the second biggest sham in American history. And what this is all about at its core, you want to understand? Look, I'll explain to you Obama in a nutshell. And Rahm Emanuel, his chief of staff, Rahm the Eel Emanuel, as we call him in Washington, he's like an eel. He's so slippery. He's a snake. Rahm Emanuel said it. Never let a crisis go to waste. Exploit every political opportunity you have. You want to understand Obama? It's very simple. Why is he nationalizing healthcare? Why is he taxing the rich? Why is he spending like a drunken sailor? Why is he giving out money to every possible Democratic constituency group? Because it's an attempt to buy votes. In the end, what Obama cares about is one thing, and that's political power. In the end, what does Charlie Rangel care about? Political power. In the end, what does Nancy Pelosi care about? Political power. And they have been enriching themselves, literally gorging at the trough and bleeding us white as they destroy and dismantle our country piece by piece. But Jed, I got to tell you, what they didn't anticipate was that now the peasants have risen up. The peasants with their pitchforks are saying enough is enough. Because you know what? It's not their money. It's our money. It's not their country. It's our country. And we're now taking it back. This is Jeff Kooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 3 hours just blows. I just want to urge all of you once again, go to michaelsavage.com. There are some absolutely scintillating stories. You can read all about the invitation of the Cambridge Union asking Michael to come and debate his opponent on political correctness. And debate, obviously, the ban against him in Britain. There are some other wonderful stories. An Al-Qaeda-linked American terrorist has been unveiled, somebody who obviously has been a sleeper in the United States, part of a sleeper cell, showing us again that the threat of Islamic fascism is real, and it is growing every day. Some wonderful stories you're not going to read elsewhere. In terms of the radicalism of Van Jones and literally what a nut job this man is, the financial crisis we're in now, and how Obama's policies are not working. You get that and much, much more at michaelsavage.com. I don't know what all of you are going to be doing for the Labor Day weekend, but I just plan to rest. It is the last weekend before the end of the summer. And really, for me, I like to use these sort of Labor Day weekends as a chance not just to rest, but to be with family and friends. In the end, we can talk politics all we want, and we'll have our political differences, and we'll come back Tuesday And we'll start off again with our political debates. But one thing to me is even more important than politics, and that is family, and that is friends, and that is God. And I'm going to be spending this weekend very grateful for having an absolutely wonderful wife. She means the world to me. I want to spend as much time with her as possible and hopefully take her out for dinner just to show her how much I love her. So to all of you out there, love your spouses, take care of them, your children. That is the essence of life. Political debates will come and go, but family is forever. And I'm just more than that. I'm just grateful to be living in the greatest country in the history of the world. I'm going to probably enjoy the sun a little bit, enjoy the good weather, enjoy the sun before fall comes on, maybe do some bike riding and just get some exercise and just enjoy some nice fresh air. We are truly privileged to be Americans. And to me, the more I see of the world, the more I know just how privileged we are and how unique and special it is to be an American. And to me, that is more important than anything else. So I'm definitely going to be spending time this weekend being very grateful, very thankful, and trying to get some badly needed R&R. I'm not going to lie to you. I tend to put on weight over these big weekends. I don't know why. It's a time for more barbecuing, seeing friends. I like to munch on a lot of cheeseburgers, so frankly, I eat too much junk food. I always put on a good 3-4 pounds over these three long day, long weekends. So try not to eat too much. Unfortunately, I probably will, but hey, that's just life. Anyway, I just want to thank all of you for listening, and I want to thank Michael once again for the wonderful, wonderful opportunity for having me fill in for him. Michael, take care, my friend. You have a very big decision to make. I anticipate that decision will be made probably sometime next week. I can tell by the callers that we received, many people are split down the middle. Some think you should debate the Cambridge Union Society. Many others think you shouldn't. This is a very deeply personal decision. But, Michael, whatever decision you make, know one thing. You are one of the greatest Americans out there. Your courage, your bravery, your honor continues to inspire all of us. I am with you. Your listeners are with you. May God bless you, and may God bless all of you. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.